Now presents The Green Room, brought to you by Audible.
Lavelle Crawford is one of the funniest comedians I've ever seen. In fact, it's the funniest show I've ever been to. And I will never go to another Lavelle Crawford show because it was so funny. My first time was so funny and so perfect. I don't want to ruin it. You never know what you're going to get when you interview a comedian, because most times they just come on to promote their appearance in your town. They tell a couple of jokes, maybe give a controversial take on whatever hot topic is going on. They don't really sit down and talk with you. And it sucks because over the years, I've interviewed a lot of comedians that I've looked up to, and we never really had a good talk. It was mostly a sampler platter of what's to come at their appearance at the Chuckle Hut tonight at whatever time. With Lavelle, it was totally different. He's such a down-to-earth, cool guy. We've got to talk about so much stuff. We went over the time that we had allotted, and he was just so nice and so great. I'm proud to have Lavelle Crawford as our final guest in the Green Room. To find out if he's coming to a city near you, check out comedianlavellecrawford.com. And I cannot express enough, if he's coming to your town, buy the ticket, make the time to go to a show. You will not regret it. He is one of the funniest people you'll ever see. So without further ado, here is Lavelle Crawford from September 27th, 2016. Hey, Lavelle, how are you doing?
I'm great, Mike. How you doing, man?
Oh, doing pretty good. Man, by the way, congratulations on the weight loss. You look great.
Hey, thank you, man.
Was it 120 pounds? Is that what it was?
Yeah, so far, yeah. You know, still dropping inches and everything.
What was like the breaking point? What got you there?
Everybody has a breaking point. It really wasn't no breaking point. It always been in your mind. You were just thinking you can exercise and get it off. Hey, maybe I'll eat one more salad, drink four bottles of water.
You know? Right.
Maybe I'll walk a little bit, get a Fitbit. That'll help, you know. You try millions of things, man. It's always been on my mind. Between a salad and potato skins, you know, you're going to go with them potato skins.
Right.
Sometimes. But, you know, I had a five-year-old, and I'm a husband. And, you know, after a while, when you start worrying about your health a little more, and you're thinking, dang, I could wake up dead tomorrow and left my family. Nobody can bury it. They might just let the house catch on fire and I slow roast it. But when they have some life insurance and, you know, and see my son grow up to be 18 or something to cuss him out when he tear up the car. So, you know.
Right. Yeah. Reality sets in and you're like, you know, I got to make a change.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, I don't mind dying on my wife, but I don't want to die on my son.
Right. Exactly. Now, has your lifestyle changed a little bit since then? I mean, are you eating better? Are you working out? Are you doing pretty much the same thing, just watching your intake pretty much?
Well, I was working out. I mean, everybody work out don't always lose weight. You see a lot of active fat people, you know, running on the treadmill and doing all kind of things.
Yeah.
So, you know, I study Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I do that. That's a passion of mine. And, I was boxing. I go to the gym on a regular. Me and my wife would do hikes, you know. But you know, in the entertainment life, you know, your life is mostly at night, and that bad diet and everything. You know, that's what kind of inflicting. You know, it's all right when you're 35, but when you're 45 and up, your body starts. You know, hey man, you know, it's just like an old car. You know, you can run with the needle near the heat. But now you got to keep it filled up.
Right, exactly.
Got to make sure the fluids go out of it fast. You know, I found I had a large heart. My blood pressure wasn't stable. So I was exercising. But now it's just like my eating habits, you know, changed a little bit for the better. I probably eat a third of what I eat anyway. I go to a restaurant and I don't even take a to-go box because I don't even want to eat it later.
Yeah.
If I do, I nibble on it, be like a handful of food. And,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean.
Little stuff.
But I go, I'm active. I walk at least 5 miles a day and I do, you know, get my weights in. You know, so, you know, the regimens, you know, have changed. I'm more active because the less weight you carry, the more you can move.
Yeah, exactly. Now, there's this ridiculous mindset out there that, you know, if a comedian's big and he gets small, or if a comedian's small and he gets big, somehow they lose their ability to be funny. And, you know, when Jonah Hill got skinny for a little bit, they were like, you know, oh, well, he's not funny anymore. Did that ever cross your mind? It's ridiculous, but does that cross your mind, though? Are you like, wow, are people going to perceive me differently because I've lost some weight?
Man, you know, I look at it like this. I'm a comedian from the mind, not the body.
Right.
So it don't have to do with that. I mean, if you got the skills, they ain't, you know, fat or skinny. I'm way smaller than I was, but I can still pull it off. I'm funny, you know,
right.
Just snap. And my jokes wasn't all fat jokes. I would talk about, you know, you have to talk about the elephant in the room if it's the elephant in the room. But once I get past her, I do a lot of, you know, thought-provoking, clever stuff,
yeah.
You know, talking about everything, you know, family and everything. So, I mean, my horizon was already broadened before I even, you know, would sit up and, you know, do, you know, to try to do comedy. I couldn't go, I'm so fat, man, fat,
right.
Fat, you know. And people ain't going to sit there and enjoy that too long.
Right.
Because
it gets old after a while.
Right, because it's self-pity. It's just like, you know, okay, I'm deprecating myself. He's like, okay, we get it. You're fat.
Right.
All right, move on. What about politics?
Right.
What about, you know.
What about life?
Right. So, you know, and now I got a whole new regimen of jokes. I can talk about the fears I had of being fat, you know, like plastic chairs and, you know, you know, now I'm so comfortable on a plane. And now that thing is now I'm half the man I was
pretty
much. Now I used to be threatening. At least I was a big guy where I was more menacing. Now, you know, I talk tough to people and they don't back down.
Right.
And I'm like, wait a minute.
What happened here?
Right, I'm in their weight class now.
Now, you were in The Ridiculous Six, which was Adam Sandler's first Netflix film with this new deal. How fun was that to film with these guys?
Man, you know, it was like, you know, if I wasn't a man, I'd have cried like a girl.
Right.
Because it's an honor. I'm a big fan of his, man. And when he wanted to meet me and he wanted me exactly for this show and, you know, and I'm hoping he called me for another one because he always puts people back in movies and stuff. And I mean, and I always said I wanted to be like him because what he does, he brings all his friends and keeps rerunning them in new movies and new ideas. You know, that's beautiful, man.
Like David Spade and Rob Schneider and all these guys.
Sure.
Nick.
And them some great guys, man. They were all cool. Vanilla Ice. I mean, everybody was such great people, man. And it just was an honor. Harvey Keitel, everybody in it, Nick Nolte. I mean, it was just like being around some really great people who were family. You know, they were very. Adam Sandler spoiled you, man. You know, when I did the Mike and Dave's wedding days, I was kind of like, you know, I was already like angry because I was like, this sucks.
Right.
Because with Adam Sandler, man, you go to find 4-star restaurants, 5-star hotels.
Yeah.
You get a rental car, and he had to put my name on it, gave us per diem out the door, man. And then you on a show with Adam Sandler, who was a great guy, man.
Yeah.
I mean, just a regular guy, probably worth about $400 million.
Oh, yeah.
And he was such a good person, you know, it was amazing.
I heard he's pretty serious off camera, like when he's directing, and he's not joking around a lot. But once that camera turns on, he's in play mode.
Well, I mean, he's just a regular guy. I don't think it's got nothing to do with
serious.
Because, like, being a comedian, you know, I mean, people expect you to, hey, well, you're right, you know, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm a human being. I have worlds. He's got two beautiful daughters, a lovely wife, and I mean, he got a family, you know, and he takes care of his brothers like his, I think, his lawyer, his nephew, Jared is, you know, plays in a lot of his flicks now, you know, and you know, he's a family man, and he's just a regular guy. I mean, he's funny when he wants to be funny. It's just like all comedians. We have fun, but, you know, he ain't got to be the, you know, the center of attention.
People expect you to be on all the time, you know?
Right. It's just like me. I don't want to be the center of attention. If I'm clowning, it's just because I want to clown or I'm sleepy. But I'm on stage. That's my therapy, and I love that, and I want to enjoy that. So
people that are on all the time scare me a little bit because, like, Kevin Hart's on all the time.
Yeah, and I think that's a short man syndrome too. Because when you're a little guy, it's like you ever be around a chihuahua, see a chihuahua, and then you see a great day, the Great Dane so reserved and standing there, and the chihuahua's nipping at his feet, jumping around. Hey, look at me, you know. And I mean, Kevin Hart's a great guy.
He's a great guy, yeah.
I think that he has this fear that people ain't going to find him great because he's oversaturating himself, which, you know, I mean, I'm what they call a purist, you know. A person who I pick things and I don't, you know, if somebody give me an opportunity, I grasp it, but I'm not one to just do anything all the time.
Right.
If it's something with the people, I'll do it. But if it's something where it's just, oh, look at me, lolly, lolly, doo, you know, I'm not that guy because I think Kevin thinks he got to keep on because he get a lot of people around him. He starts fearing that he's going to have to take care of everybody.
Right.
So you just got to keep your community small. You know what I mean? You got to keep them small so you won't feel like you got to save the world all the time. And that becomes a problem. That's probably why he's always trying to be on.
Yeah.
Because everybody's watching. Hey, Kevin, you know, so he would shock the world if he didn't, you know, act, you know, crazy sometimes. Just chill, you know.
Right.
I mean, he'd shock the world. And I think if he around other comedians like myself where, you know, I'm a, you know, just because you sell a lot of arenas when it comes down to comedians, everybody know who the big dog is, you know, they know who the big dogs is barking, you know, so, you know, when we just walking around, just regular guy, oh, you Kevin Hart, but when we go up on that stage, oh, it's LaVell Crawford and Kevin Hart, or it's Dave Chappelle and Kevin Hart, or, you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
So, you know, that's where everybody get grounded, so I think sometimes people gotta always be funny and then give to people. I don't believe in giving them what they want all the time.
Right. No, I agree. You gotta hold back sometimes. You really do.
Right. I was a man before I became a comedian, and I did a lot of things that, you know, I was a security guard. I was a bouncer. I did a lot where I was on the other side. That's why I can play the character on Breaking Bad, because I've been that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You weren't acting, you know? You were just reliving.
right, basically, you know, I can go stone cold WWF on you real quick,
right.
You know, but I'm not a monster, but if I have to go there, because like, people think that you're a comedian, that you're like, oh, you're a comedian, he's a punk, but they don't realize comedians are probably some of the most dangerous people in the game,
because
you're on stage making jokes, and sometimes you got a hell of a heckler. You don't have no security unless you like on a larger scale. So you are in a dangerous realm.
Yeah.
You know,
you're exactly right. Now, you're also in Legends of Chamberlain Heights, which is a new cartoon.
Yeah.
I was actually at brunch with a buddy of mine last week, and he was like, Michael, you have to watch the show. It's so funny. It's so over the top. I haven't seen it yet. But I've heard great things about it. It's all over the place right now. Who do you play in that show?
Well, I play the big gang member slash security guy who's a thug. He's a gang member. His name LaDante. He got a big old you when you hear the voice, you know it's me. Then I play Janky Eye Jenkins. I play this little guy I go from a big guy to this real wimpy guy. I play the voice of the dog. I play the voice of a Jamaican bootlegging man selling CDs, and I play a few people in there, but that's the main characters.
You're a regular Mel Blanc.
Well, I guess I got it bad. I watched Bugs Bunny and all those shows forever as a kid, and I've been a cartoon fiend forever. I still am. I'm 47, and I still watch any. I got the Killing Joke of Batman on my iTunes ready to watch now.
What do you think? You know, well, let me know what you think about that, because I watched that too. I'm curious about that.
I love the car. I love when they animate the graphic novels.
Yeah.
Just like they're the best, man.
Really are.
And that's where they got to go with these TV series, these movie series. You know, you got to go to the graphic novels to make an impact. You know. Because they did the Civil War. I thought it was great. I'm glad the end, you know, the last part of it was so dark that Captain America was a dick, and I love that, man.
Yeah.
I love that.
But
because he knew that Tony Stark, he knew that his buddy killed his dad all that time, man.
Kept it from him.
I was like, wow, man. I was like, that was a great twist. twist.
See, I was a little disappointed in it because I really expected the end to really blow up and like there was somebody either going to die or, you know, relationship severed forever. But then at the end, they just wrap it up with like, hey, here's a phone. Call me if you need me, you know? So I was like, well, they wrapped it up real quick. It was like an old TV show in the 60s. Like everything, like catastrophic event happens and then it all wraps up in 30 minutes, you know?
You know, and that's funny you say that because I think somebody should have died or, you know, because Captain America did die before,
right.
You know, and then came back alive. And I think they should have did it like that because like in the DC went darker than them because Superman got killed.
Yeah, he actually died.
Superman. That was kind of wild because I can't believe they mixed it together because them two different stories, you know, where Batman and Superman go against each other because I think they put too much in that because I think it should have been Superman against the world and then he goes against, you know, I forgot his name.
I don't remember.
I don't either. I forgot his name, but they made him out of Doomsday. Yeah,
Doomsday, that's it.
Yeah, they made Doomsday, but I think that they put Doomsday in and he really was not, they didn't give him the love that Doomsday deserved.
Right.
You know, because Doomsday was a beast, you know, so I mean, but anyway, when Superman died, I was just like, cool, you know. I mean,
that was brave of them.
Yeah, that was very brave. DC had, I guess DC said, well, we got to go real hard because Marvel been running it forever. They
right.
running it on the big screen. They running it on the small screen. I mean, Marvel's incredible. I like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I watch everything Marvel put out. I mean, they have incredible shows. And
so you need to be like on panels at the comic cons and stuff and just moderating stuff.
I know.
That's what
I
you
know.
Need to be doing.
I thought they would call me for some of that for Breaking Bad, you know, because, you know, I'm sure people want to do that Q&A with me. I would love to be on. I'm damn freak out how much I know.
How about you'll let go on that?
I'm like the guy on The Simpsons with the arrogant guy that holds the comic book store. That is not a part of our repertoire here. I love that guy.
Yeah.
He's so arrogant, man. And that's how the comic book dudes is. They really think they better than everybody.
Yeah, they're like a master race.
Yeah. What was his name? Kevin. What's his name? Kevin
Smith.
What's that guy? Kevin Smith, he's one of those guys, man, and he got the little time. What he got the comic book hero show that comes on
AMC.
AMC, so it's great.
Now let me just say this, and hear me out here. I've been to one of your shows before. It was a few years ago. You came to town, and I went to the show. Because we had seen you on Last Comic Standing, a buddy of mine, and I had seen you on Last Comic Standing, so we went to the show, and we voted for you, by the way, that year that you were on there. You were our favorite. This is the God honest truth. Your show was the funniest show I've ever seen live. I mean, tears were coming out of my face. It's hard to make me laugh, like truly laugh, you know, on a comedy show. I've done stand up, so it's hard for me to go in. I'm more like analyzing the mechanics of the routine when I'll go to a stand up show. You know what I mean? That's what I'm doing. So I'm not really paying attention. But this show was the funniest show I've ever seen. To this day, I can't go back to another one of your shows. And every time you come to town, a buddy will call me up and say, hey, you know, you want to go see Lavelle? He's going to be in town. I said, no, I can't go. They go, why? You said it was the funniest show you've ever seen. I said, it is the funniest show I've ever seen. That's why I can't go again. It was so perfect. The night was so perfect. I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, keep that memory because I don't want to make you angry, you know, so that's fine with me. You know, my first impression was great. I can handle that.
The first 10 minutes, the sound system was so bad at the place that you played when I saw you that I didn't understand a word that you were saying. So I didn't even get the punchline. I got the gist of where the punchline was, but I didn't understand what the punchline was. But I was still laughing. It was just so funny. And then I, you know, it kind of cleared up. And then I heard the rest of the show. And it was just genius. I mean, you really are a really funny guy.
Thank you.
If I ever was planning on going back to one of your shows, are you a greatest hits type of guy? Like, do you reuse a lot of old material? Or are you one of those guys that always has to have a new set on every tour?
It ain't that I have to do new stuff. It's that, man, my creative juices, man, are always flowing. And the stage is basically like Bruce Lee, when he goes in the dojo, man, he's always figuring out how to, you know, to upgrade his skills, you know, how to make just become incredible, you know, just, and that's where I'm at with my comedy. I'm a perfectionist with it, you know, but I even jokes like you had seen back then, I mean, I'll go up and do the same thing the next show. Yeah. I might do something totally different. I might stay on that rhythm because I, you know, maybe trying to, you know, keep the show time. But even then, I may not end with the same. I may not start with the same. I may not even, I might just get up there and it just, what the feeling moves me, just go into that, man, because, you know, basically the comedy is me. Yeah. It ain't really the jokes. People remember the jokes, but the comedy is me. And you know, people always say, man, I ain't never seen you do the same thing twice. I say, well, that's good.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't like doing best hits. People want it. I'm one of them comedians where people request things while I'm on stage. And that's fine if you want me to do it, but I don't like doing it because your ass already know what I'm
right.
doing.
Exactly, yeah.
I want it to be, you know, where it's a surprise, where you weren't expecting that. You like, oh, my God, I mean, this is totally different show. And then you got people that are crazy that will get angry at you. They laughing their butt off, but they're like, oh, man, I want to hear everything I heard off his DVD special, off
right.
the shack off. I mean, why do you want to hear what you already hear?
Exactly.
If I do that, I got these people who were, these people that will go, oh, he did the same thing off of, you know, so you can't win. It's just
you
like
can't make anybody
off.
Happy, yeah.
No,
I know.
And that's why I said I don't try to people please, and that's where I'm at. The people pleasing is crap.
Right.
I think mine comes from being fearless, though. I mean, that's a lot of times a comedian. When you go on stage, they do the same stuff because they think that's what made them get the job and all. But
right.
you know, even if they do know you, they don't know what you're doing. And I like them to get mad and me, you know, that get mad that I didn't do the stuff. But I'd be like, did you still laugh your ass off? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, that's what I'm supposed to do. I wasn't supposed to do things that you know. I said, because this ain't no, you're not driving home. You're not, you know, this is a ride, man. You're going on an adventure. It's not an adventure if you already know it's going to happen.
Right.
So, you know, so when I'm up there, man, and it's not cocky. It's like, and if I could give you the same feeling I gave you, but with totally different stuff, that means that I know what I'm doing. I'm a professional, you know what I'm saying? And the thing about it, I like to make gauge on things that ain't always funny either, that people won't laugh. They be scared to laugh. But like I do a joke about, you know, people be miserable. They tell me I only got 6 months to live. I say, well, at least you know when you dying. Hell,
right.
A lot of people don't know when they dying. They don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, hell, I just don't want to die weird. I said, one of my fears is, you know, rush into an elevator and I run through the door and then look in and the elevator's not there. Now I'm trying to call it 40 feet to my death. But then the out of order sign flies right below me, and I see the pictures of out of order sign. I'm like, where was this sign all that time?
Right, and that's how you go.
Yeah, and you know, like I talk about, you know, I may talk about a celebrity's death. I say, you know, and I was talking about like Prince, and I was like, you know, people be tripping off deaths of celebrities. These celebrities wouldn't know if your ass died. Why you sitting up here crying? My cousin was crying up a storm. Oh, I can't believe Chris died. And I look right at him and say, well, he can't believe it either.
Lavelle, thank you so much. I really am a big fan of yours. And hey, by the way, where do you post your tour dates? Do you have a website or anything?
Basically, I'm in the works of getting my website back up because I had a guy, and I'm gonna probably do it generic and go GoDaddy and do it myself.
Yeah.
Just for my, you know, because I think what it is now, everything is turning into self management.
It is,
you know, because you pay somebody to put a website up, and then you don't have no control. They don't let you control it and post pictures when you want to.
Right.
And you got to pay this guy because you act like you don't have a computer or an iPhone that
right.
really. iPhone is basically a computer now, so
right.
you can do everything. I do everything on my iPhone. So the thing is, I'm just going to go to GoDaddy. But right now, you can go to Instagram. I give video collages, let people know I got them on my Twitter. I got my Instagram is Lavelles, LAVELLSCHACOMIC, Lavelles, the comic on Instagram. And then on Twitter, it's Lavelle, no S. the comic on Twitter. And then you can also go to Facebook, and it's LavelleCrawfordFacebook.com. And I post dates on the regular on there, letting people know where I'm going to be. And I do verbal posts too. So, you know, just look for me out there, or you can just go to Google and just put my name in, and it'll tell all my business. Everybody knows it, the IRS and my wife.
Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate you, man. Thank you for letting me do this, man. Good luck with everything.
The Green Room, brought to you by Audible. Get more show at mznow.tv.